Dr. Cassie Airy with Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, we're going to begin lesson number 14 entitled The Ascension of Christ. And in this lesson, we'll look at the following points. Point A, we'll look at a brief introduction on the ascension of Christ. Point B, we'll look at the story of the ascension. Point C, we'll see how the ascension was prophesied and taught in the scriptures. Point D, we'll talk about the ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection. Point E, we'll look at the manner of the ascension. Point F, the necessity of the ascension. Point G, the purpose of the ascension. Point H, the result of the ascension, and then point I, a brief conclusion on the ascension of Christ. So let's begin here in lesson 14, the ascension of Christ. Now, the life of Jesus Christ can be foretold as four great miracles: the incarnation, the resurrection, the ascension, and the second coming. In this lesson, we will study the third of these miracles, the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension is that event in which Christ departed visibly and returned to heaven, to the third heaven. He came to earth as a humble baby. He left the earth as the exalted conqueror. When his earthly work was complete, he entered into his heavenly ministry of preparing the mansions and the high priestly work of intercession. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 1 as we look at the description of the story of the ascension. The story of the ascension. Acts chapter 1, we want to look at verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The description of the story of the ascension can be summarized in two words. Christ ascended visibly and bodily. Again, this description of the ascension can be summarized in two words. As we just read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Christ ascended visibly and bodily. Now, point C, that was point B, the story of the ascension. Point C, we want to look at the ascension was prophesied and taught in the scriptures. Let's turn in the Old Testament and Psalm to Psalm 68 with me. Psalm number 68. In Psalm 68, we want to look at verse 18. Psalm 68, verse number 18. Psalm 68, verse 18. The Bible says this, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Here in the Psalm 68, verse 18, it was prophesied about Christ, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive. Then look with me also in Psalm 110. Psalm 110 in verse number 1 with me. Psalm 110, verse number 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And of course, in Psalm 110, verse 1, we see the Lord all capital letters, is God the Father said unto my Lord, capital L and then lowercase letters, meaning Jesus Christ, the Son. After the ascension, then, we see that he sat at the Father's right hand. Now look with me also in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 with me. In Luke chapter 9, we want to look at verse number 51. Luke 9, 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Of course, talking about his ascension here in Luke 9, verse 51. We see then in Luke 9, 51, the ascension was in God's plan. Now look with me in the Gospel of John in chapter number 6 in verse 62. Gospel of John chapter 6 verse number 62. What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 6 verse 62. And he says to his disciples, what, and if you should see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. Then also, as we continue in the Gospel of John, and of course we're looking at point C on our lesson here on the ascension of Christ, how the ascension was prophesied and taught in the Scriptures. Look with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So we see here Jesus is referring to his ascension, that he was to go away. He was going to the Father. Look at also with me in John chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, in verse number 17. John 20, verse 17. Jesus said unto her, he's speaking to Mary now, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Again, here we are, Jesus talking about his ascension. The Old Testament spoke of it, amen, of Jesus' ascension, and Jesus taught freely of his ascension. Now, likely the disciples did not understand it any more than they understood the precious truths of his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, as we move along here in lesson 14 on the ascension of Christ, point D, we're going to look at the ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection. Jesus delayed going back to his Father to remain on earth for several reasons. First, to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that he had actually risen from the dead. This was essential for the establishment of the faith of the believers. And then second, he tarried in order to give the disciples more instructions in the Christian faith. In the post-resurrection period, Jesus was able to explain much of his past teaching in the light of that which occurred, his own death, burial, and resurrection. Let's turn to the Book of Acts for just a moment. In chapter 3. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3. Acts 1, 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we see then on the point D, the ascension occurred 40 days after the resurrection, and we looked at a couple of reasons why he remained on earth. Amen. Now, point E, we want to look at the manner of the ascension. The manner of the ascension. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 24. In Luke 24, we want to look at, together, verse number 51. Luke 24, verse number 51. We read, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Of course, he blesses the disciples, amen, and then he is carried up into heaven. See, Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, we want to look at verse number 20. Ephesians 1:20. The Word of God says, "For we wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Some think this expression, God's right hand, is figurative, meaning power. However, the scriptures teach us that it is a literal geographical location. For Stephen at his stoning saw Christ there. Look with me in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 with me. In Acts chapter 7, look at verse 56. Acts 7 verse 56. Talking about Stephen, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." True, it is difficult to localize the eternal God, but it can be done. The ascension was visible, not secret. It was seen and witnessed by the apostles. Jesus Christ left personally, visibly, and bodily, and in like manner will he return in the second advent to this earth. Amen. Now we want to move on to point F in our lesson 14 on the doctrine of Christ. Point F is the necessity of the ascension. Why was it necessary for Jesus to ascend? Heaven was his home. Amen. He left the glories of heaven, the third heaven, to come to the sin-sick world to save us. Heaven was his home. Was it not? It was logical then, when his work was completed, that he would return home again. In John chapter 14 and verse 28, Jesus said, "I go unto the Father." Prophecy had to be fulfilled. He said that he would return to the Father, and he did in John 16. The divine plan was that the Holy Spirit would not come to indwell believers until after the ascension of Christ. The ascension, in other words, must precede Pentecost. Look in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, in verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Amen. In other words, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, but he hasn't left us comfortless. Amen. He has left us with the indwelling Holy Spirit, his Spirit. Amen. The ascension of Christ was a prerequisite for his further work of preparing mansions. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, in verse 1 to verse 3, Jesus said, he's speaking not only to his disciples then, but he's speaking to us now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It would have been wonderful if Jesus could have lived on earth forever in his post-resurrection power, but that was not the plan of God for the church. Jesus ascended to complete the redemptive work that was required. Look in the Gospel of John with me in chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, in verses 16 and 17, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Jesus' ascension enabled his followers to do the promised greater works. Look in John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And of course, this is a great verse of scripture that Pentecostals and Charismatics will use to support the Jesus is saying that the believer would speak in tongues and be able to heal and doing all of that. But I believe the greater works, my dear friend, is this. Amen. Is when you lead someone to Jesus Christ, amen, when you witness to them of the death, burial, and resurrection and how they can be saved and that Jesus is a living, risen Savior. And if they believe on him, amen, then they can be saved and be birthed into the kingdom of God, amen. Which, remember, under the Old Testament law was not possible, amen. No one could be born again, amen. No, a person couldn't be born again until after the Christ died, and he died for the sins of the world, was buried, and rose again the third day, amen. And then the Spirit of God came down, and the church began in Acts chapter 2 with the day of Pentecost. Jesus ascended to enter into the ministry of intercession at God's throne, amen. And praise the Lord for that. We'll talk about that later on in a very near future lesson on the intercessory work of Christ. Jesus' ascension makes his ministry worldwide, not localized in Palestine. Look in Matthew chapter 28 with me for a moment. Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew 28, in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So we see that it's not localized, amen, because of the ascension. His ministry is worldwide. And then finally, the ascension becomes a strong proof and explanation of the resurrected or the resurrection body. Amen. As we continue here on lesson number 14 on the ascension of Christ, let's look at point G now, the purpose of the ascension. Well, first of all, one of the purposes of the ascension was Jesus ascended to glorify the Father. Look with me in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. Of course, here in John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, as he prays to the Father. Matthew 6 is the disciples' model prayer. But in John 17, we read in verse 1, These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So one of the purposes of the Assumption was to glorify the Father. Another one was Jesus ascended to become a prince and a savior. Look with me in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 31. Acts 5:31. Him hath God, is Jesus Christ, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So we see then another purpose for the ascension was so that Jesus could become a prince and a savior. A third purpose of the ascension was Jesus ascended as a forerunner, opening the pathway for us, the pathway to heaven. Look in Hebrews chapter 6 with me, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse number 20, it says of Christ, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he's a forerunner, amen, for us, opening the pathway to heaven to those who will believe on him. Another purpose of the ascension was Jesus ascended to prepare our heavenly abode. We just read in John chapter 14, verse 2, do we not, that he's gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to prepare a mansion for us, amen. Praise the Lord for that. Another reason for the purpose of the ascension is Jesus ascended to be our high priest. Look in Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews 9, we want to begin with verse number 21, and we'll read down to verse 24 of Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verses 21 to 24. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. In almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Amen. So another purpose of the ascension was Jesus ascended to be our high priest. And then lastly, another purpose of the ascension is Jesus ascended to take his appropriate seat. Look in Hebrews chapter 10 with me in verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 10 verses 11 and 12, or actually Hebrews 10 verses 12 and 13 rather. Hebrews 10, verses 12 and 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So we see then, we've looked at six purposes for the ascension. Number one, Jesus ascended to glorify the Father. Number two, Jesus ascended to become a prince and a savior. Number three, Jesus ascended as a forerunner, opening the pathway for us to heaven. Jesus ascended to prepare our heavenly abode, amen. That was four. Five, Jesus ascended to be our high priest. Then number six, Jesus ascended to take his appropriate seat. Now here, as we're studying in lesson number 14 on the ascension of Christ, let's look at point H in our outline under lesson 14. The results of the ascension. The results of the ascension. Number one, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we want to look at verse number 8. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What gifts? Well, let's look in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did he give us these gifts? Well, for the perfecting of the saints, amen, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, amen. And then we see another result of the ascension. Because he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended, amen, and praise the Lord for that. Look with me first in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. And in John, chapter 16, we want to look at verse 7. John 16, 7. We read this just earlier. We'll read it again. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I tell you. I tell you what? The truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen. Because he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. Let's look also under that point in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 33. Acts 2, 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Another result of the ascension is he demonstrated that sins were purged by sitting down and showing completed action. Again, he demonstrated that sins were purged by sitting down and showing completed action. Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, look with me in verse number 3. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of his glory in the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of power, and when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So another result of the ascension was he demonstrated that sins were purged, amen, by sitting down and showing completed action. Now, because of his ascension, now we as believers can come boldly to the Lord in prayer. Because of his ascension, now we can come boldly to the Lord in prayer. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 with me in verses 14 through 16. One of the blessed promises in the Bible, now because of the ascension, you and I as believers can come boldly to the throne room of grace in prayer. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have a precious promise here that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace, amen, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in a time of need because of the ascension. Now, another result of the ascension is because he ascended, he can now save to the uttermost. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. Again, another result of the ascension is because he ascended, he can now save to the uttermost. He can lift a sinner from the cesspool of sin to the highest heaven to be with himself. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Now, another result of the ascension, his presence in the heaven lies causes us to draw near with a true heart in full ascension of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, another result of the ascension is his presence in the heaven lies causes us to draw near with a true heart, amen, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. The Bible tells us, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The result of the ascension, Jesus now stands on the portals of heaven, beckoning us to look unto him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We're told in Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. He stands, amen, right now as the goal at the end of the journey. Amen. And someday, very soon, my dear friend, we're going to be with the King in the third heaven. As a result of the ascension, positionally, as believers, we are seated with him today in heavenly places. Amen. Looking in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 with me. Ephesians chapter number 2 in verse 6. In Ephesians 2 verse 6, the Word of God says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So positionally, amen. Positionally, we are seated right now in heavenly places. Amen. Physically, our bodies are here on this earth. Amen. But spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places. And someday, the body will be with the Spirit, amen, after the resurrection of the believers, amen. And then another result of the ascension is he ascended that he might fill all things. He ascended that he might fill all things. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse number 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Another result of the ascension, now that he has ascended, angels, authorities, and powers are subject to him. Look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 22. 1 Peter 3, verse 22. The Word of God tells us this, as a result of the ascension of Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. His ascension, Christ's ascension, became a coronation. That's right. And then we see the ascension became one of the six articles of the mystery of godliness. The ascension becomes one of the six articles of the mystery of godliness. Look with me in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16, we read this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And this is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that's the incarnation, justified in the spirit, Amen. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then we see finally received up into glory. There's the ascension. So we see there are six articles in the mystery of godliness. Amen. Justified in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Amen. So, we looked at, under point H, some results of the ascension. We saw, first of all, he gave gifts to men. We saw that he gave pastors and teachers and evangelists, amen, to edify the body of Christ, to build up the ministry, the church. And then we saw another result of the ascension was because he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. Amen. So he hasn't left us comfortless. Amen. Amen. He is with us in the Holy Spirit. Another result of the ascension was he demonstrated that sins were purged by sitting down and showing completed action. That is finished. It's all done. Amen. If a person will receive Christ by faith, amen, believing that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, then that person's sins are purged. And then we see a great promise. Another great result of the ascension is because of his ascension, now we as believers can come boldly to the throne room of grace to pray to him. Amen. We have access to God the Father. God the Father now hears our prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Because of reconciliation now, the lines of communication between the believer and the Father are now open through the Son. Because of his ascension, amen, we can come now boldly to the throne of grace. Not prideful, but confident, amen, that when we come to him, he's going to hear us. And we remember that we may not like the answer. We want another answer, but he'll give us an answer nevertheless, and it's going to be the right answer. Amen. Praise God. We must remember the sovereignty of God. Amen. And then we saw another result of the ascension was because he ascended, he can now save to the uttermost. There's no sin. Amen. There's no sin that Christ cannot save us from. Amen. Often when you're dealing with people about their soul and the condition of their soul, they'll say, well, God couldn't save a sinner like me. I did this sin and I did that sin. Well, the great news is because he ascended, amen, now he can save to the uttermost, amen. Any sin a person can be saved with, no matter how wicked, how vicious it was, Christ can save them now because of the ascension. Also, another result of the ascension was his presence in the heaven lies causes us to draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And then another result of the ascension is he stands now on the portals of heaven. He's waiting there for us, beckoning us to look unto Jesus. That's where we should be looking out. Our head should be up. Amen. Our affections and our hearts and our souls should not be on this earth or towards the things of the earth, but set upon the things above. Amen? That's where our affection should lie. He's beckoning, come unto me. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And someday we'll be with him very soon. Because he's ascended, amen, you and I will ascend. Praise the Lord for that. Because he was resurrected, you and I will be resurrected. And we'll go up and be with him. Amen. And then also we saw, because of the ascension, another result was, positionally, believers, we are seated with him in heavenly places. And then we saw another result of the ascension was that he might fill all things. And then we saw, as a result of the ascension, now that he has ascended, angels, authorities, and powers are subject to him. Praise the Lord for that. And the last thing we saw as a result of the ascension, that the ascension becomes one of the six articles of the mystery of godliness found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now, as we conclude our lesson here in point I, we want to wrap it up. Because of the exaltation of Jesus Christ, one day, the Bible tells us, every knee shall bow. Amen. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Look with me in Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 in verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God has also has highly exalted him, that's his Son, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there are some right now, and we deal with them every day, that don't want to bow, amen, the knee, amen, that don't want to confess him as Lord. No. But someday they will. They will. That's what the Word of God teaches us. But we need to do it. You're going to do it one way or the other. But if you, right now, were to do it voluntarily. Because, amen, someday everybody will have to do it, but it'll be too late. But those of us who have voluntarily done it are saved. Amen. But let's not wait until till that day to glorify the Savior, my dear friends. Let's worship and serve Christ who deified or defied. Amen. Let's worship and serve this Christ who defied the laws of gravity and ascended bodily. Amen. His praise, amen, should be continually on our lips. Amen. You know, because he was glorified, someday we will be glorified. We will be glorified with him. And we will share in his glory. Amen. What a great future the believer has. Amen. Christ is not in the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, waiting for you and I to welcome us home someday. What a glorious day that will be, my friend. But let us prepare to welcome him soon as he returns. Amen? Bodily and visibly. He can return at every moment. Amen? To take the church up in the rapture. We'll meet him. And be with him forevermore, never to be separated again. And then we'll return at the second advent with him. We'll be part of his army. And we'll look at that in a future lesson on the second advent, the second coming of Christ. Well, at this time, this will end lesson 14, which is entitled The Ascension of Christ, in our series of lessons in the study on the doctrine of Christ. So when we meet again, we'll pick up with lesson number 15, and we'll look at the intercessory work of Christ. So at this time, This ends tape number 8, side number 2.